Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Robert Mays joins us, NFL writer for The Athletic, host of The Athletic Football Show, and always great to have him with us. Hi, Robert. How are you?
Hey, Robert.
All right, guys. I'm starting to feel the crush of the season potentially beginning here, which is a combination of being nervous and being excited, which is always nice.
The crush here in Cleveland is, oh, wait a minute, that's Baker Mayfield wearing number 6 for the Carolina Panthers. I'm thrilled they're going up against Baker and Carolina in the opener because you're not going up against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs or, you know, Justin Herbert and the Chargers. You're going up against a team, Robert, that on paper you should handle pretty easily if you think you're a playoff team. Agreed or not?
I don't agree. I think the Panthers are fine. I don't think the Panthers are good, but I think that, you know, the current version of the Browns with Jacoby Brissett, I don't know if they should handle this Carolina team easily. The Panthers have a defined ceiling with Baker Mayfield and with the way they've built this team. But I think they'll be competitive week in and week out. You know, if they win 8-9 games, it wouldn't be shocking to me. So I think the Browns right now with, you know, questions about Jack Conklin's health and with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, I think they absolutely can win this game, but I'm not sure that they're a resounding favorite to beat up on the Panthers this week.
It's funny, when I look at this game, I keep thinking about the clip from the movie Moneyball where they're telling Dave Justice that the Yankees were paying him not to play for them. And I keep thinking about Baker Mayfield in that same scenario where his motivation has got to be, you know, these guys didn't want you bad enough that they knew they were going to take a quarterback that wasn't going to be able to play in the beginning of the season. I'm just curious your thoughts on Baker this week and just what do you think might be going through his mind?
I'm sure there's a lot of that. I mean, yeah. We heard what he said to Cynthia Freeland on the sideline a couple weeks ago, and I don't blame him for that. That's probably how I would feel if I were Baker Mayfield. But in Baker's case, you know, I don't want to psychoanalyze him. I don't know Baker Mayfield. But I would assume if you're a Browns fan, you kind of want him to be a little bit geeked up for this game. I mean, he's the type of guy that sometimes that emotion can play a negative effect in the way that Baker approaches stuff and the way that he plays. So if he's overly concerned with all of that, I think that actually might work in your favor if you're a Browns fan.
Robert, you mentioned Jacoby Brissett a little while ago. Should the Browns be sold that he is their starting quarterback, or should he be on, you know, kind of a short leash here and the Browns should be willing to go to Josh Dobbs or maybe Josh Rosen if things aren't working out, knowing you have 11 games without Deshaun Watson?
I think that they're pretty set with Jacoby Brissett as their starting quarterback in the short term. And you look at what Jacoby has done in the last few times he got a chance to be the starter, and it's not great. You know what Jacoby Brissett is at this point, but when he was the quarterback of the Colts a couple of years ago, and, you know, I would make that comparison to what the Browns have right now when the offensive line hopefully gets back healthy, where you've got a really strong infrastructure with running the ball, play action, you know, your protection up front. And he was fine. You know, he was a middle-of-the-road quarterback. You know, you sit in that maybe bottom third of the league. You're the 23rd best quarterback in football. You're the 23rd most efficient passing offense. And when you combine that with hopefully what the Browns will be able to do on the ground, I think that in the short term, it's a more than tolerable solution to the problem that they face.
I would say there's a good portion of us that believe that the Browns are going to win, especially early on, that the defense is going to have to carry them. When you look at the Browns defense, you know, what are your thoughts on what they have, especially when you got a guy like Myles Garrett out there?
I'm very excited about it. I mean, I think that their back seven is one of my favorite position groups in the entire league. And when you And the way that I'm thinking about that is it's third and seven. You know, you have JOK out there, and then you have the six DBs out there. You got the three safeties, three corners, whatever the three corners may end up looking like, even if they get hurt a little bit. I think it's a deep group. I think that it's a group that is one more year experienced. Guys like Grant Delpit, who was hurt early in his career, Greg Newsom stepping into year two. And I think that that continuity that that entire group has, the fact that pretty much all of them are coming back this year rather than turning over so much of that position group last season, is a real boon for them. So to me, the biggest question about the Browns defense is, are the guys up front, especially against the run, good enough to make the back end worth it? You know, this team, I think, was 21st or 22nd in run defensive success rate last year, and their middle of their defense isn't any better than it was last season. You know, you have guys like Taven Bryan, Perry and Winfrey, unproven guys. If they can hold up against the run and get teams to third and six, third and seven, and allow that back seven to shine, I think they're going to be really, really good. But the interior of the defensive line is pretty much the only group that I have questions about. And then just depth at the edge spot. You know, I'll be beyond Miles Garrett, beyond Devin Clowney, who has struggled to stay healthy in his career, what do they have? But overall, I think I'm more optimistic and bullish on the Browns defense as a whole than most people are.
Robert May is joining us. He's the host of the Athletic Football Show, NFL writer for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Robert Mays, exactly the way it's spelled, M-A-Y-S for the last name. You mentioned the defensive tackles. That's been an issue here, Robert, that everybody's been looking at. We've also been looking at the wide receivers. Do the Browns have enough talent? Do they have enough depth at wide receiver to give Jacoby Brissett the opportunities that he may need and give the running game enough of a complement that people aren't going to stack the line against them like crazy?
You'd hope so. I mean, it's obviously a weakness when you look at the other teams around the league, but I assume this team is going to live in heavier personnel. You know, they're going to want to have Harrison Bryant and David Njoku on the field pretty often, that they weren't shy about living in that world when they had the three tight ends. And I have to assume that we're going to see a similar approach this year. This isn't going to be, you know, 11 personnel, three wide receiver team like the Rams or the Bengals. And having a bunch of guys at that spot matters a little less when you're living this way. So I think they may have enough to cobble it together. And what that looks like, I think, is a question. You know, can Donovan Peoples-Jones take a small step forward? You know, if you're living in more wide open sets, David Bell and Anthony Schwartz, they filled kind of different roles in the slot. What can you do with that? It's not great, but I think with the way this team is constructed, they can more than get by with the players that they have.
Robert, just knowing your Chicago background a little bit, I'm just curious your thoughts on Mitch Trubisky, who's from Cleveland, getting the starting, at least he's getting the starting job today from Pittsburgh. And, you know, just that path that he's taken to not only be the starting quarterback for the Steelers week one, but to wear a C on his jersey as well.
I mean, I think Mitch was always a well-liked guy. I don't think it was a matter of that. And I think that Buffalo, when they went to get him, I think that's a sign that they wanted somebody like that in their locker room. I think they're pretty conscious about that stuff. I don't know how long he'll be the starting quarterback there. You know, I think that you see teams do this. You see teams do this with head coaches all the time. I think the Steelers did it with the quarterback situation. They went as far away from Ben Roethlisberger as they could with somebody like Mitchell Trubisky, where his best attribute is the way that he moves around and the way that you can use him on some under center play action stuff, and the ability to kind of create on the move. And that's what he gives them. You know, he gives them a way to, I don't know, just be weird at that position compared to what they had last year. But I don't know what kind of shelf life that has. Yeah, you know, I think the only reason Kenny Pickett isn't starting right away is that they don't think that Kenny Pickett right now gives them the best chance to win. A lot of teams around the league, if you picked a guy in the first round and it was moderately close, you would trot out the guy that you picked in the first round, because what you needed to do is maximize and prioritize his development. In Pittsburgh, I think they want to be able to send a message to the building and the locker room that we're going to put the best team out there no matter what every single week. I don't know how much longer that's going to be a team with Mitchell Trubisky instead of Kenny Pickett. They have a mini bye heading into week four, I want to say. They play the Browns on a Thursday night. I wouldn't be surprised at all if after that game, Kenny Pickett was the starting quarterback for the Steelers.
What if Trubisky goes out and plays well and the Steelers win? Do they rock the
boat? I think that bar is pretty high. And I don't know how well he's going to play. You know, Mitchell Trubisky's fine. As a stopgap quarterback, I think he's absolutely fine. I always try to follow the money when it comes to stuff like this. And if you look at the contract that Mitchell Trubisky got from the Steelers, it's a contract for a backup quarterback. I mean, it is not the money that you give somebody you think is going to be a long-term starter. And I think that he's keeping the seat warm for a guy that they spent a first-round pick on this season. This isn't a situation like Jimmy Garoppolo last year or Alex Smith with the Chiefs a couple of years ago, where the guy that you have as the incumbent is the incumbent of a playoff-caliber offense. The Chiefs finished fourth in offensive DVOA the last year that Alex Smith was the quarterback there. The Niners were a top-five offense last year with Jimmy Garoppolo. The Steelers are not that with Mitchell Trubisky. It's not like they have this offensive machine that needs one more upgrade for them to be a Super Bowl contender. This is a bad offense last year. I assume it'll be a below-average offense with Mitchell Trubisky this year. So I just don't think it's that similar to other guys who had to spend a lot of time on the bench, because I don't think their ceiling or even their level with Mitchell Trubisky is high enough to warrant keeping Kenny Pickett on the bench for that long.
Robert Mays joining us from The Athletic. Let's stay in the division here. To Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, quarterback, no contract. He says he's shutting down contract talks once the season starts. Robert, how does that play out?
It's a weird situation just because we don't see it that often. But I think on both sides, there probably isn't that much fear of the downside of what happens from here, right? I'm sure the Ravens are willing to give Lamar a pretty huge contract. So if he plays well this year, how much bigger can the contract get? I have to assume that there's some sort of friction and disagreement about whether the Deshaun Watson contract should be taken as precedent in these situations. The deal that Kyler Murray took, the deal that Russell Wilson took, is an indication that other teams aren't treating that as real precedent for how quarterback contracts should be handled. So we'll see how that ultimately plays out on the team side. I assume they're sitting there thinking, we can franchise him twice if we need to. We have a lot of leverage in this. We don't need to get this done if he wants to step outside of what we consider the norm for quarterback contracts as a whole. On the Lamar side, we've seen recently there just isn't much downside for these guys if you're a real quarterback. You know, Dak came into a season as a lame duck quarterback, broke his leg, and then got a top-of-the-market extension. There aren't that many outcomes here for Lamar Jackson where he isn't going to get everything that he wants out of this entire process. And for the most part, when we've seen guys who are willing to kind of push this thing to the limit, guys who've been willing to be franchised, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, it turns out just fine for them. You know, Kirk Cousins got a fully guaranteed contract for the Vikings because he was willing to play out the string in Washington. Dak did just fine. We're going to kind of push the Cowboys to something like this. When you're a top 10 quarterback, one of the elite quarterbacks in the league, arguably, there is a very limited chance that this thing is going to go south for you if you're willing to exercise every bit of leverage that you have. And I think the team is probably thinking the same thing because they have a couple years of control over him. So it's a weird situation, but I think it turns out for both sides.
Robert, let's talk about one more team in the AFC Central. Or AFC North. God, am I old.
I do that all the time. Don't worry about it. Black and blue division where I'm from, man.
Exactly. Right. It makes me feel better. You know, can Cincinnati repeat in the AFC? There are big question marks about that offensive line, and they're going to be able to keep Burrow healthy all season. What are your thoughts?
I think their offensive line is much, much better than it was a year ago. You know, and they don't have star players there. Guys like Ted Karras and Alex Kappa aren't stars, but they had some of the worst offensive linemen in the league that they were trotting out there every single week. And the fact that Isaiah Prince is no longer going to have to play big snaps for them, and it's Lyle Collins instead, it's hard to overstate how much stuff like that matters. The big questions for me about Cincinnati, I think, are twofold. One, are as teams start to play them a slightly different way, like they did during the back half of last season, taking away big plays, playing more too high on defense, really making them earn it, and not allowing Joe Burrow to kind of take those shots down the sideline and have that be the best part of their offense. What does Cincinnati look like? I have faith in Joe Burrow to be able to do that as teams stop blitzing them, as teams say, we're going to make you earn this over 10, 12 play drives. I think they'll run the ball better and allow that to happen. And I think that the guys that they have, they'll be able to figure that out. They were really explosive last year, but they weren't efficient. So as teams make them kind of earn it and be more efficient, what does that ultimately look like? And then on defense, you know, they didn't do much defensively this offseason. They went out and drafted Daxon Hill in the first round. I love him. I think that what he allows them to be on the back end with some of the three safety looks they can do are really interesting. But other than that, it's the same crew. And I like this defense and what they did in the playoffs. I think that having a veteran, smart group back there, you saw just how flexible they were even within games and the game plans that they could kind of unleash. But this is a team that I think finished 17th in Football Outsiders DVOA on defense last season, which is middle of the road. You know, kind of saying we want to roll with the same group that was just barely an above average defense last year, and we didn't really need to make any big improvements at those spots. It's a big bet. So I think the Bengals are going to be good again, but I don't think they necessarily did everything they needed to stave off a little bit of regression that's probably coming for them this year. If they won 10 games and they were a playoff team, that's fine. But I still think they're a slight step down from the best teams in the AFC.
Robert, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Absolutely, guys.
Robert Mays, NFL writer for The Athletic. He is the host of The Athletic Football Show. You can follow Robert on Twitter, at Robert Mays.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I think Robert's right, but I wonder what might happen. And let me tie that with what Bill in Brecksville said a couple of segments ago. I just wonder, and my hope is that Jacoby Brissett goes out, plays a real competent quarterback, maybe even a little better than that, and the Browns are just fine. But I wonder, Andy, and I'm curious as to your thoughts, what if things don't go well? What if they're 1-3 after four games? What if they're 1-5 and the quarterback play hasn't been competent? Do you think, because at that point, let's just say you're 1-3 or 1-4, okay? And I don't know. I'm just throwing this out, completely hypothetical conversation. Do you think they think at that point, hey, wait a minute, we have Deshaun Watson coming back in week for game 13. Week 13, game 12, and we want this thing to be on the tracks when he gets here so that when he comes back, we're playing meaningful football games. Now, that's a lot to ask of him since he hasn't played in about 2 years.
Right.
But I'm not convinced that they wouldn't pull the plug on Jacoby and give Josh Dobbs, probably, maybe even Josh Rosen, a shot at this thing.
And well, why'd they bring Kellen Mond in, though, too?
To develop him long term.
All right.
Yeah, I think Kellen Mond is your eventual backup to Deshaun Watson here.
So let's first of all, I think the other part of the issue that you're bringing up is when you look at the first four games of the season, Carolina, Jets, allegedly a down Pittsburgh team, and Atlanta. So I mean, it's even worse than you think, and that you can just pretend that it's a Browns Therapy Monday, and I can just tell you, why aren't we playing Josh Dobbs? He looked great in the preseason. Why isn't Josh Dobbs starting over Jacoby Brissett? I mean, we're going to hear it. Jeff, you're going to hear it in the postgame show on Sunday, no matter what happens.
Maybe
unless
not.
Unless Brissett looks amazing.
There it is.
You're going to hear this on Sunday.
I don't think so. I honestly think all he has to do is look competent and they win.
If he's competent and the defense does what they need to do, they should win.
And the running game does what it's supposed to do.
Okay. I mean, I hate to throw that game manager thing out, and I'm not trying to be negative, but that's what Jacoby Brissett needs to do. Execute the plan that Kevin Stefanski wants, and I think they win. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Carolina comes out and just punches them in the face, and maybe the defense isn't what I think they are. I think that's not right, but I think the defense will be what they want. And I do think that the offense will finally feel whole as it's going to be, and healthy going into week one. Now, Jack Conklin is the question mark there. So if they do what they're supposed to do, they should win. But, Jeff, if the offense sputters and the defense does all the work and they win, no one's really going to question Brissett. But if the offense sputters and the defense maybe squeaks by, you're going to be getting phone calls about, hey, here we go, Josh Dobbs should be starting. That'll be immediately following the game on the Browns Post Game Show with Jeff Phelps.
Okay, let me throw this out at you. Should that be the case? I kind of think it should. I think there's more on the line for this team this year. There's certainly more on the line for Kevin Stefanski. I mean, this is a huge opportunity for Kevin. And I'll say opportunity. It could also be a huge coaching trap for Kevin. These first 11 games.
Jeff, if they're 1-3 to start this thing, this is not good. That's a whole lot of wasted money that's probably not going to make the playoffs.
Well, that's kind of my thought. I wonder how patient can you be with a guy who is not your starting quarterback? You know what I mean by that? I mean, you brought Jacoby in here knowing he'd start.
It's next man up, Jeff. Well, I don't think he...
And see, that's what I think, Andy. I think you're right.
Kevin is dealt the hand that he has in front of him.
He has to have this team on the tracks, okay, on the playoff tracks when Deshaun Watson comes back. Now, that doesn't mean they need to be, 9-2 after 11 games.
No.
It doesn't mean they even have to be 7-4. But they better not be 3-8. If they're 3-8, he's in trouble.
Yes. Yes, he is. I agree with you. And it doesn't matter. It's being able to have that, magic touch with whoever the quarterback is.
Yep.
And the pressure isn't going to be on the quarterback as much as it might be on the head coach.
If this team doesn't look good with Jacoby at quarterback, I don't think they'd hesitate to make a move. And I don't know, but I don't know that Josh Dobbs is a better option.
Jeff,
that's the thing.
If Brissett goes out there and throws 3 interceptions a game, what are they going to be saying?
Play Josh Dobbs.
Well, and if they don't, they'll be like, what's Kevin doing? Why isn't Kevin? And if he's throwing picks and they feel like they need to stay with him, they're going to be saying, why aren't they running the ball?
I wonder if there is any mandate, I guess is the best word. We know the minute Deshaun Watson's ready to play, he'll play. Mm-hmm. Even if they're 11-0, he'd play. We know that. They're not switching out. They're not going to be 11-0, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
He's the guy. I wonder if there's a mandate that Jacoby Brissett starts while Deshaun's out. Because you just said people are going to be saying, what's Kevin doing? Well, I would say the same thing, unless there's a mandate from above. Hey, this guy starts. Don't get cute. He's the starter while Watson's out. I wonder.
I don't know. I just think that if Brissett's not working, are they going to take a dartboard and throw 3 darts at it and see which one lands closest to the middle between Rosenmond and Dobbs? I don't care what the depth chart looks like. I mean, it sounds like Dobbs is your number 2 guy. And I do think that there are going to be – I think there are fans out there right now that think that Dobbs should be the starting quarterback with Watson out because of what they saw in preseason. It'll be interesting.
Jeff is in Massillon, home of the Tigers. Hello, Jeff.
Jeff, what's up, man?
Good. What's up? How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Doing well. I just wanted to just put out the fact that, they both have okay arms. They're not world beaters, right? But what's the difference between Brissett and Dobbs? Dobbs is way more athletic than Brissett is. And I just trust that athleticism alone for us to do some stuff that's going to work in this offense. I remember it was a couple years ago that Dobbs was playing for the Steelers, and he was playing against the Browns. Something had happened to Mason Rudolph or whatever. Dobbs came in, and we could not stop that guy. Every time he would run for first downs, he kept getting first downs after first downs. And I was nervous in that game. You guys can go back and check. It was a late game 2 years ago in Cleveland, and Dobbs came in. His athletic ability to run and his speed is so great that it's almost like Lamar. I'm not saying it's Lamar, but it's like that dual threat of, yeah, he can throw a short pass, but he can run really fast. And I think they should look into that.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much.
All right, so we didn't have to wait till Sunday.
It's already started.
I don't know. Is it a 2-year difference? Brissett's what, 29? And
I think Brissett deserves every opportunity to go out and play. And Andy, I hope all of this is just, you know, stuff kicking around our heads. I hope he's fine. I hope the offense is fine with him, and I hope the defense is just tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, they're going to win. They're going to win football games. But I'm just curious if it doesn't look good offensively. And let's be fair. It didn't matter who the starting quarterback was, whether it was Watson or Brissett, it didn't look good. Right now, we saw a very, very small sample size of both. We saw a lot of Josh Dobbs. It looked good with Josh Dobbs. Preseason football, which means absolutely nothing. Okay, but you still can't take that vision, that perception out of your head. We're all human beings. We saw it not work with Watson. We saw it not work with Brissett. And we saw it look pretty dang good with Josh Dobbs. So we can sit here and say all we want, Andy, the preseason doesn't matter except for one thing. It did make an impression. It did on Jeff Massillon.
Yeah, he took
advantage. It did
advantage.
On you. It did on me.
Yeah, he took advantage of the situation
yep.
he had.
Yep.
The players he had on the field with him, the players he was going against. Again, the greatest job in Northeast Ohio is backup quarterback. You can't lose because everyone's wondering what you'll look like, especially when you're not a Grizzly veteran, right? He's not a Grizzly veteran. He's a veteran.
No, he's a guy who's played in the league, and when he's been a backup, you think you have a pretty good backup. And when he's been a starter, you think you need somebody better. Kevin's in Cuyahoga Falls. Kevin.
Hey, fellas. How you doing today?
Good, Kevin.
Hey, Kev.
Hey, I love the whole, you know, storyline, you know, Baker's back and all that and against the Browns again and all that fantastic stuff, and it's great fodder to chat about. But man, to me, the most overlooked part of this game is Christian McCaffrey's back, and frankly, in my opinion, he's the most talented guy on offense that's going to be on the entire field all of Sunday. I mean, the guy could win comeback player of the year just because of how much talent he has. The only knock against the guy is he can't stay healthy, but when healthy, he's the modern day Marshall Faulk and can do anything on a field. I mean, the guy's a 1,000+ rusher, 1,000+ receiver, double touchdown guy year in and year out when healthy, and everything's saying he's green and good light and he's going. To me, it's going to be a test on our defense. Forget Baker. All he has to do is hand the ball to McCaffrey. That's going to be the game plan all day. How do we stop that guy? I mean, that guy's incredible when he's healthy. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, except for one thing. How often is he healthy? He hasn't been since before the pandemic.
I'll tell you what Matt Rhule said about him on Monday. He said, I don't think anything we've done isn't smart. That's what he said of the organization. I'm getting this from USA Today. He's a tailback in the National Football League, right? He had a ton of usage the 2 years before I got here. The propensity after that much usage of being injured is really, really high. The benefit is he's had 2 years now to kind of reclaim his body. He's in the best shape of his life. That was Matt Rhule.
Yeah. Yeah, if everything looks like McCaffrey is fully healthy, ready to go, to me that's the storyline of this game. Do we have anybody who can stop that guy? Because when he has been healthy, he is the most dynamic player on an NFL field I've seen in years. I'm going to tell you, since Marshall Faulk, he's phenomenal. So I'm more concerned and scared of McCaffrey than anybody else on the Carolina side. So I hope our defense is up to stuff. But talk about a test week one, man. He's the biggest test they're going to get for weeks to come, as far as I'm concerned.
Kevin, thank you very much. Only concern if you're Carolina, the guy's played in 10 games since the year that Kevin was talking about when he was phenomenal. three games in 2020 and seven games last year. And he was okay in those games, but he wasn't what he once was. We'll see. He can fry running backs in a hurry. And that's why Nick Chubb is still rolling along real strong. The Browns have not overused him. I think you could say the Browns maybe haven't used him enough. Maybe. Paul Hoynes from the Plain Dealer Cleveland.com covers the Guardians. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock. Something happened last night, and I thought, man, I hope that goes away. And I hope it goes away next year. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan, and that's next.
Hey, everybody.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, Paul Hoynes, Plain Dealer Cleveland.com, covers your first place Cleveland Guardians. And can't wait to talk to Hoynesy. Let's go to Mike in Maple Heights. Mike, welcome to The Fan.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
How are you, Mike?
Okay. Yeah, I had a question, Jeff. Maybe Andy, maybe you both guys might know. When Josh Dobbs was in during the preseason, was he in with the twos or the threes?
Little of both. Yeah, he was little of both.
Okay, and Brissett, he was in with the ones. Am I correct?
Ones and a lot of twos.
Yeah, some of the offensive line was two. Good portion of the offensive line was twos.
Yeah, same with skill position.
Can you
guys
imagine if they switch places, Josh Dobbs with the number ones? You know what I mean. I'm just trying to project to see something. You know, if you could imagine maybe Josh Dobbs with the number ones, he'd even be that much better, especially with those two running backs, you know?
Well, I would agree with that. Again, you take everything that you see in the preseason, Mike, and you can't dismiss it because, I mean, we saw it. Josh Dobbs looked terrific in the preseason. But yeah. I wonder what he would look like with the starters, too. I thought that, you know, while it was going, I was like, all right, can this guy do this? And remember this aspect of it, too, Mike.
Well, maybe
could he do it against starting defensive players?
Yeah, well, you know? That's true. But maybe we might have that opportunity. Hopefully, Brissett will be okay. But if not, they better not wait too long to pull him out of there.
I think you're right, Mike. Thank you very much, Mike in Maple Heights. It's a question, Andy, of what are you gonna do there? You know, I hope that the guy puts to rest any thought of, boy, we should play Josh Dobbs, Josh Rosen, anybody. Just go play and do the job.
Well, clearly that's the goal, and I don't know. I just don't feel like jumping up and down every time we have a quarterback change here, you know, because it'd be great if Jacoby Brissett could just start the 11 games and get us to Deshaun Watson.
6-5, 7-4.
That's okay. I mean, yeah. I think that works.
7-4 would be terrific.
It does. I don't know. I think we worry about a lot of things that maybe we don't need to worry about, or they become bigger than life when – you know, it's the wide receiving core, I think, that a lot of people want to look at and say, okay, but they believe in this wide receiving core. So the least, I think, as a fan you can do is just kind of look at the wide receiving core and go, okay, we'll give them a chance. I'm going to give these guys a chance. I mean, we know what Amari Cooper is, right? And we know what Donovan Peoples-Jones can be. Big Ten fans know what David Bell can be if he can do that at the next level. That's what we're all hoping for. And really, those are the guys you're going to need it from. I mean, we sit here and talk about Schwartz all we want, but I mean, how many reps is he going to get compared to the other guys?
Yeah. Hoynes is going to join us in a little bit here. Last night, extra innings, Guardians against the Royals, they get it done. And I wanted to bring this up. The man on second base to start the extra innings. Okay, it worked last night. You know, the Guardians get their guy. Oscar Gonzalez comes in, hits a double, brings in two. That's terrific. And I watched it, and I thought, God, I hate that rule. I just don't like it at all. And I wonder what folks think about it. I wonder what you think about it, Andy. I am not a fan. It's the third straight season we've had this rule. Okay, and it was brought in because of the pandemic and everything else, and you're just, okay, you knew why it was here. They kept it this year because the thought was, without training camp, remember how it was short training camp and all, it's like, let's just leave this as is, keep the guys off the field because they haven't had, you know, the regular training camp. This might reduce the risk of injury, blah, 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 blah. They don't have to keep it next year. All right, it'll be up again, but it was renewed for this season. We've had it 3 years. It has shortened games. Okay, we've seen that over the course of 3 years. It's shortened games, but does it stay that way? Let's do this.
All right. What do you want to do?
We'll talk about that later. because we've had a special guest just walk into the studio. Not often do we have 21-year-old guys walk into the studio who we let walk in and just sit down, but we have one right now.
He's like, oh, man, I'm sitting down with these two old guys.
These two idiots who have been talking about me like I'm their son.
We're fans, just so you know.
We'll Cade York, easier. Browns kicker, sitting right here in studio. Hello, Cade. How are you
doing?
Well, hello. I'm doing fantastic.
We turned on your microphone right here. You're getting headsets.
Well,
oh,
you got
God.
The boss taking
Welcome.
Care of you.
Yeah. Slide on up and chat. Say hello.
Hello. It's very presidential.
It is, isn't it? Welcome to our humble abode. And by humble, we mean crummy. Welcome to Cleveland. Typical September day. This isn't it, because the weather's usually nicer. But how you doing?
It's great weather. I don't mind it.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Day off, just kind of doing some stuff right now, and then going to go home and chill out and basically do nothing. So
great. A good deal. Are you having fun?
Basically, I mean, do nothing.
I'll be
like
honest.
That.
Look, I'm excited for you to kick for this team, and we've seen. What, I mean, we were going crazy when you hit the 70-yarder the other day before the game. So, I mean, that was awesome. But what's it like to – you're in LSU. Next thing you know, you're in Cleveland. Next thing you know, you're in the NFL. I mean, what's it like, man? Take us through the ride.
It's definitely a lot of very surreal moments, and you go through a lot of quick changes. 4 years ago, I was in high school, so it's kind of crazy.
Thanks for that.
Sorry. Went from living in McKinney, Prosper, Texas, to going to LSU and playing for that Natty team the first year, and then – another 2 years go by and decide it's time to leave, and now I'm up in Cleveland and never really thought any of those things were going to happen prior to 6 months before they happened. So it's been all very surreal and a blessing. So can't wait to see where it goes next.
What did you think when you were drafted? And I say that not because you came to Cleveland or anywhere. Kickers usually don't get drafted. Some do, usually don't. What did you think when you were drafted and when you weren't drafted in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round?
I mean, we all have what we're expected to get drafted at. And a lot of times for kickers, they'll tell you something and it doesn't necessarily pan out that way based on other guys, other kickers in that class, or teams' needs and stuff like that. I came in with a late third to early fifth. Of course, I'm assuming fourth round's going to be where it's going to end up, but most of the time it doesn't always work out how people want, because there's 1,000 guys that are looking to get drafted. So, but it was a blessing. I kind of figured I was going to end up with the Browns just because of how the pre-draft process went and the combine and all that stuff. So, but it still is a great feeling to see his phone start ringing while you're sitting there with your family and getting to do that.
Cade York, Browns kicker, sitting in studio with us, pretty pumped about this. When you had a chance to kick at the stadium, I mean, they talk about the wins out of one way or another. I don't know if in preseason you get the same feeling. Obviously, during the winter, it's going to change a little. Did you notice any of that? Have you been able to? I mean, it's easier to kick into the close end, right? I don't know. I've never kicked down there. You tell me.
So it's supposed to be when it gets really windy, the dog pound side is supposed to be the hardest.
Right.
So far, it was pretty windy in the pregame last game, and then it died, and basically nothing. The first game, it was a little bit windier than last game throughout the whole game. Really, I kicked in the stadium this summer, and there was a couple much windier days than what I've had so far. But yeah, the dog pound side can definitely get harder. I will say it usually blows left to right, which is my better win for me. Obviously work on it all, but it hasn't been too bad, and I'm kind of excited for a challenge when it comes my way.
All right, I'm going to bring up something bad.
What are you doing? Why would you bring up something bad?
Because I feel for him as an LSU Tiger.
Okay.
Watching LSU get an extra point blocked that would have tied the game against Florida State and sent it into overtime. Dude, that's painful, man. That's your extra point right there. If you were there, probably goes in.
Okay, we can't blame the kicker.
No, it's not the kicker. No, nobody blocked the guy. I get that. But I felt terrible for the guy, and I immediately thought of you. That's just awful.
I felt very bad for him. Because not only, I mean, no one knows this story really, but he was our fourth string kicker last year from Baltimore as a walk-on.
Wow.
And he wasn't even invited to camp for the start of this year. I really don't know staff or the new players that well, but I did know that he wasn't invited to camp. And he got brought in halfway through camp and ended up winning the job as a four-string kicker.
It's a pretty awesome story.
Pretty awesome. And for him to go into his first game, make his first kick, go out first, second kick, he gets blocked. Not his fault, but it still hurts. And then to be put on the line, and from what it looked like, he hit the ball well on the PAT. You can't really always tell too much. But it was going to go in.
And almost still did.
It almost still did, but to have that, and there are a bunch of ignorant people that don't know what's going on that are sitting in the nosebleeds or watching on TV and just automatically blame him, because I know that because, one, I was in the shoes before, but also I was getting DMs and comments from people thinking that I still played for LSU.
Oh, no.
Or sending me death threats.
Seriously?
Yeah, I delete social media during the season now.
Smart man.
That's a good call.
You don't want to be a part of the up. You don't want to be a part of the down. And
right.
Those people that have 12 followers on their account can still hurt you with the words they say, so you might as well just not give them up.
Bill, tell them your motto.
Nothing good comes from up here on the Twitter.
This is bottom.
Remember that.
I agree with that.
Use that. All right, so I'm looking here. I want you to comment on this. According to our friends at Wikipedia, I spent 5 years living in Texas. I love the state very much.
Well, have you ever been to Beaumont?
No. Stop. This isn't.
I know where Beaumont is. I can't remember.
There you go.
So he lived there.
It's a big state.
Yeah, I know.
But McKinney is up in the northeastern part of the corner of the state. And McKinney's got a great, great football background. Every place in Texas seems to have a great football background. I want your comments. I want you to tell us if you've met any of these people who are proud citizens of McKinney, Texas, or who grew up there. Ronald Jones, running back with the Kansas City Chiefs.
No.
You ever run into Ronald?
I have not.
No luck at all. Okay. That's one. Clem Daniels, who was a longtime football player years ago.
No.
No Clem Daniels. Tom Kite, the professional golfer from McKinney, Texas?
No.
No Tom Kite.
This is a great bit. Keep going.
Anthony Lynn, former Browns running back coach and former head coach of the Chargers.
I have a good feeling that these are going to all be no's.
Okay. I've got a good one coming up, though. And Andy, you might know of this guy.
All right.
I loved this guy when I was a kid. Professional wrestler Haystacks Calhoun.
Not only no, but I also don't know who that is.
Oh! There you go.
We're on the same team, man. I don't know what.
Okay.
That's what happens when you're down in Beaumont. Well,
here's the thing. You could become the most prominent alum of the city of McKinney in the sports world.
Well, I can't say I'm an alum of McKinney, because even though I lived like on the very edge of McKinney, all the Prosper people would hate me.
Yeah, you didn't. You went to a different high school.
I went to Prosper.
But I meant, I shouldn't have said alum. What's the best way to say
native.
It from there? Resident.
Born resident.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
you
fine.
Go.
Did you play any, what position did you play in high school? Did you just kicker?
Just kicker.
Really? All the way through?
Yep.
Soccer?
I did play soccer. That's why I really only played kicker, just because until halfway through junior year, I really thought that soccer was going to be my route to college and hopefully professional soccer.
What'd you play?
Center back.
Did you?
Yeah, so that's why I'd only play kicker, because I didn't want to get hurt, because soccer was my main sport.
All right, so we were talking about this. Joe Burrow was at the Ohio State-Notre Dame game the other day. You're cool with that, right? I mean, he played there before. I don't know why. Like, people are making a big deal about it. Who cares?
Okay. I almost went to the game, too.
So you should have gone.
Nice. That would have been fun.
You should have. You could have gone as a recruit. It would have been awesome. We could have taken you through the whole thing again. You'd have to shave, though. You'd have to go incognito.
With recruits these days, I would have fit in just fine.
LeBron's kid was there, so Bronny was there. There were a lot of people. It was a great scene.
Can I ask you one last thought on this? And not on McKinney or anything. You're 21. People forget how young you guys are when you come into the league. You know, and a lot of guys in your situation would be 22 as a college grad. So you were a young kid coming out of college and being a pro. What's the most difficult part of being a 21-year-old guy? And, you know, you're not in McKinney. You're not nearby at LSU. You're living in a place you'd never been before. You're dealing with all kinds of different things, and you're dealing with some real adult things now. You know, I mean, you're out on your own. What's the biggest challenge in doing that while still trying to start your NFL career?
I'd say, especially being 21 and not having girlfriend, wife, anything like that, it's just doing it on your own. And you don't have college roommates that are your best friends. You don't have your parents aren't in town because they're across the country. So you kind of do it on your own, and you have to be able to be professional about it and have a great mindset and find things to do in your free time and not just sit around and be a bum. So that's living on your own and kind of going through it all on your own is definitely the biggest piece of being 21 and young and trying to be a pro.
Well, when you're bored, you have nothing to do.
You're always welcome to come by.
There you go.
Hopefully you're here till you're 41 or 45.
That'd be cool.
We're excited for you. We're excited for this career. And it's been fun so far. It's great to cheer for a kicker. Like, I'm just pumped. I'm pumped for you. And
I was a big Matt Barr fan.
Yeah, I mean,
loved Matt.
I mean, it's a unique spot to be drafted, and then to have a team that I can't imagine what was going through Mike Prefer's mind when they drafted you. Like, how excited you are to be a special teams coach and then be able to, you know, get a guy that you feel like can help you win games. So we appreciate you stopping by, and we're big fans here.
Thanks, Cade. Best of luck.
Well, thank you. You have a good day. You
Paul too. Hoynes covers the Guardians for the Plain Dealer. Up next, you're on Baskin and Phelps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!